Colossians chapter 3 tonight. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. We're going to start tonight where we left off this morning. I think the last passage we read in this morning's message was Colossians chapter 3. And verses 1 through 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 tonight, kind of as a continuation of this morning's message. So Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can be back here in your house. We can spend some more time in your word as a church family. And we ask for your blessing upon this time as we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Sometimes we all, we kind of get stuck maybe in a rut or in complacency, and we just need a little something to motivate us, you know, something to just like give us a little kick and push us to do a little better. Maybe it's a challenge. I remember as a teenager, I worked at the Big Y in Norwich at that the grocery store. And I was a bagger first, and I got to be a cashier. And every once in a while, they would have these challenges, and they would have these like store-wide challenges of who can scan items the fastest. Right, and so you'd be able to find out. I think they put up sheets where you would find out like your ranking there, and you're just trying to scan items as fast as you could. And I think the way it worked, if I remember correctly, is it was like per order. So once you scan the first item to start an order, the time started, and then as you could scan items as fast as you could, and then when the order ended, that's when that time period ended. So how many items you got to scan in that amount of time. And so, you know, any competition, we're like, all right, it's on. Like, how fast can I scan these items? And you'd be like, going as fast as you can, scanning items. And you get frustrated when, like, the barcode's not scanning right. Or you get, like, vegetables, and you got to punch the number, and it's not as fast as just scanning things. You're like, oh, my time's going down. But I all of a sudden, like, a bunch of teenagers, right? This is like their part-time job. They're scanning groceries in a grocery store. We didn't care that much about how fast we were going. We could take our time, you know, and didn't matter to us. We were there till 6 or whatever. So, hey, just take my time. But all of a sudden, there's this competition. And now we're like, let's see how fast we can do this. And all of a sudden, like, we didn't have a real goal before that. And when it came to scanning, really the goal was, I don't want to, like, have too little money in my drawer, right? If I have less money than I'm supposed to, then I'm in trouble. So that was kind of the basic goal. But then all of a sudden you have this like higher aim, like how fast can I scan groceries? How efficient can I be? And all of a sudden we have this like motivation to simply do better and to aim higher. And for the Christian, that's what the resurrection does for us, right? It challenges us to have higher goals than the other ones that we might find and that we might kind of latch onto. And Colossians chapter 3 tells us in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." There's a quote I found by a man named Les Brown, who's a politician and a motivational speaker. He said, "It's better to aim high and miss than to aim low and hit." That quote goes perfectly with our passage. It's better to aim high and to miss then aim low and hit what you're aiming for. To an unbeliever, someone who doesn't know Christ, who hasn't been changed by the gospel, aiming high means something different to them. Aiming high is maybe like trying to get a promotion at work, right? This maybe like a top-level management job. That's aiming high. You start at the bottom and you're like, my goal is to work my way up through the company. Maybe aiming high is like a fitness goal, right? Something they thought would be unachievable. And so they set it as it's a couple years out and that's my goal. That is the aim of my life, is to achieve that fitness goal. It could be an education goal, getting some degree. There's a bunch of different goals that people could have. But for the Christian, all of those type of goals and goals like that, while for the world that is aiming high, for a Christian, that's aiming low. That's aiming for things that are less important than what we should be aiming for. But what happens if we as a Christian aim low and hit what we're aiming at? If we make one of these things our goal, right? Like maybe a travel destination, to travel the world. If we have some goal like that, and we put that as the, like, the highest goal of our life, what's the result if, as a Christian, we aim for a low goal, but we hit that? Well, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. In the instruction that Jesus gives to these people, he says a couple different things. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. And that's aiming low. Their goal is, it says it in verse 1, to be seen of men. Right? That's their goal. Verse 2, it puts it this way, that they may have glory of men. Why? That's in the things that they were doing, that's what they had set as their aim. They said, you know what we want? We're going to do this in such a way that people see us and that people think we're the best because of what we're doing. And I mean, they probably got it, right? They probably had people that went, whoa, look at all that they were giving. Look at how generous those people are. But Jesus says, you aimed low and you hit it. But that's all you got. You have your reward. You aimed low, you got it. Well, that's all you got. And when we think about the resurrection and eternity, all of a sudden that goal and achieving that isn't that great. It's not that high. It's not that important for us. He talks in verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They got what they were aiming at. In verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Their aim was the praise of men, and they got it. They aimed low and they hit it, but who cares? Right? What did it matter? In the scheme of all of eternity, what did that matter? It didn't matter for anything. And when we take the rewards that they got, and we take the rewards of living for the Lord, eternal rewards, and we put the two next to each other and we compare them, it really gives us a sense of how little they received from this. And how worthless it was. They aimed low and they hit it, but they got, that's all they got. That's all they received from that. And when we think about that, the praise of men or these other things, how long are these things going to last? At most, if you aim low and you hit it, the rewards you get are gonna, at most, are gonna last the rest of your life. In Hebrews chapter 11, we've been going through that in Sunday mornings. 11 and verse 25, it talks about Moses who chose not to have the pleasure of sin for a season, right? He made the choice that was not worth it for him, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That pleasures of sin for a season, that's aiming low. That's like, I want to enjoy the pleasures that I could have in Pharaoh's palace. That's aiming low. And the Bible says, even if he got that, if he aimed for that and got it, he would enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For a season, that's pretty vague. It doesn't say how long that season was. Even if we stretch that for the rest of Moses' life, that's still pretty short because we know about the resurrection. We are risen with Christ. And death isn't the end for us. Death just begins all of eternity. And when we compare all of eternity with that season, we go, that wasn't very smart. It wouldn't be very smart to choose the pleasures of sin for a season when you can serve God and enjoy the pleasures of that reward for all of eternity. And if we aim low and we hit it, number one, it's not a very great reward. And number two, it's not going to last us very long. And so in Matthew chapter 6, if you're still there, where Jesus talks to them about this and about aiming low and hitting it, he gives them this instruction in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. He says, don't aim low for these things. He says in verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For a Christian, the very highest of earthly goals is still aiming low. It is. It's just aiming for things that really are below a Christian. But for us who know Jesus Christ and who know the resurrection, aiming high means something entirely different because we have been promised the resurrection. And so in Colossians chapter 3, if you go back there with me, Colossians chapter 3, it gives us, the passage we read, verses 1 through 5, give us two instructions in regard to aiming high, having heavenly eternal goals and a purpose for our life. Two instructions. Here's the first one in verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It means to mind your focus. That's the first instruction. Mind your focus. I know that's it's not usually how we would say that, right? Mind your focus. But I said it that way on purpose because when it says set your affection, that's the translation of one Greek word, and it's the verb of the noun that means mind. So it's literally the verb mind. And people used to use this all the time. They would say things like mind your manners or mind your tongue. We don't so much use that anymore. Probably the one that I could think of that has really remained is mind your own business. Yeah, we'd still say that. Maybe we shouldn't, but we do say that. Mind your own business, things like that. But so it means to like put your attention where it needs to be, right? Mind your manners. You're not paying attention to how you're, tell this to my kids, right? You're not paying attention to the fact that you're chewing with your mouth open, right? Focus on that. Stop talking with your mouth full and mind your manners, right? Put your attention where it needs to be in this moment. And I want you to go with me to John chapter 9. I think we take for granted how focused Jesus was and how single-minded he was in every single thing that he did, how his attention was constantly on doing the will of his Father in every single thing that he did. I think it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that sort of focus. But in John chapter 9 in verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That was him minding his focus, saying, I know what I'm here to do. I know what my aim is, and I'm going to work the works of him that sent me while it's day. He said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, I do always those things that please him. John chapter 12 and verse 49, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So Jesus said, I'm going to only do those things that please God. Only do the things that God has told me to do. Only going to say the things that God has told me to say. And he was single-mindedly focused on doing what he was there to do. He wasn't bothered with the lower aims that so many people around him had. He said, I'm aiming high for what God wants me to do. And so in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus calls his disciples, when he calls Peter and John, as he calls them to be his disciples, he directs their focus from a low focus to a higher aim. And he says in Matthew chapter 4, as he is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees them that they're fishing, for they were fishers. What does he say? He calls them and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And all of a sudden, they went from aiming low, right, fishing, getting a good catch that day, or maybe, you know, they had a goal to, get money to build a bigger house or buy a bigger boat. I don't know what their goals were, but they had probably these different aims of building their business and all of that. And Jesus Christ comes to them and says, I want you to follow me and be my disciples, and you are then going to be fishers of men. All of a sudden, you are going to focus on something higher than catching fish, something more important, and that is sharing the gospel and the souls of men. And when Jesus called them to be his disciples, he said, you stop aiming for things that are low. You aim high. All of a sudden, you have this higher goal. And when Jesus saved you and me, he pointed our minds to higher things than we had before that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Titus 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. good works, right? That is aiming high. We're not talking about like doing good at a job or doing good in our life, right? Or being a good person. What we're talking about is the good works that God has called us to do. God has called us to a higher focus. And we need to mind our focus. We need to keep our attention on that, because so often we get distracted. And we see this with the disciples, didn't we? That at one point, Peter said, I'm going back to fishing. Right? He had this high aim, and then all of a sudden, he got kind of discouraged, and he says, I'm going to go back to what I was doing before. And he got his focus shifted, and we spend time having that same struggle that we know where we're supposed to be aiming, but we get distracted by other things and say, what if I pursue that? What if I make this my life all about this instead of what it should be about? And we really have to focus on pleasing God in all things that we do, because that is what it means to aim high. That in everything I do, I want to glorify and to please my God. And we can do that in everything. Right? All the little mundane tasks that we do every single day, whether it's mowing the lawn, doing dishes, laundry in your job, and running errands, all of those things. We can please God in those. We can set that as our goal and say, you know what, as I live my life and I do the responsibilities that I have and the tasks I have to get done, I could simply go, that's all there is, just to get it done, check it off the list. Or I could say, I want to please God as I do this. I want to glorify God in the way that I do this, in the attitude that I have, in my thoughts as I do this. I'm going to aim high. I could aim low and, you know, check it off my list. I could go get an oil change, or, you know, maybe if you're not like me, do it yourself, right? I could aim low and go, that's my goal, is just to get that done. Or I could aim high and say, I want to please God in this. I want God to be glorified in how I do an oil change, right? Whether it's me sitting in the car and paying someone else to do it, or doing it yourself, right? You can seek to have a higher aim in that, but you have to mind your focus. You have to set your affection on things above. You have to seek higher things and keep our attention then on pleasing God. So the first instruction, Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above. Focus on higher things as you live your life, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And then verse 5, here's the second instruction. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. Mortify your members. There are some things that can absolutely not please God. No matter how much we might try to think they're okay, they will not please God. And he lists some of them, and we'll get to them, but his solution to that is just get rid of them. Like, get them out of your life. Mortify, put to death your members which are upon the earth. We've had I think in every house that we've lived at, except for the parsonage when we lived over there, we've had to deal with ants. You know, it's just a fact of life, I guess. But so dealing with ants, I put out the little traps that we have, I like the fluid ones. They seem to work well. I put them outside the house and keeps them from coming in. So some people have ants. Seems like some people then, if you don't have ants, you have mice. It's one or the other, or if maybe it's possibly both. But some people, you know, they get mice in the house and like, oh, I don't want to kill them. You know, it's so heartless. And so they, you know, they trap them and then they'll take them far away, right? Because you don't want to let them right outside the door. They'll be right back in. So, you know, you take a trip and you take them far away, set them out in the woods where they can have a wonderful life, right? And so hopefully somebody else's house. But, you know, I don't know of anybody that does that with ants, who they have ants and they're like, oh, I don't want to kill these little things. So let's trap them alive and go take them. I've never heard of anybody do that with ants. I wouldn't be surprised if there's people out there that do. But most of the time, people are like, just kill them. Step on them, get traps and kill them. That's how we need to treat sin in our life, right? It's not catch and release. It is kill them, right? It is mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. These things have no place in our life, and they take our attention and they put it on the most absolutely useless things in our life, things that have no chance of pleasing God. Look at the list in verse 5. Fornication, it's wrong sexual desires, uncleanness, which is another, like the idea of lustful living, giving into the desires, the wrong desires that we have, inordinate affection, it means depraved and wicked lusts, evil concupiscence, The word concupiscence is another word for longing, and it's especially for like things that are forbidden. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is greed, and that is idolatry. And all of them, they're really like almost synonyms, like they're really in the same vein of thought, which is these are desires, wrong desires. And it's completely in contrast to, in verse 2, the desires that we should have, the focus that we should have in verse 2, contrasted with the focus we should not have in verse 5. But all the things in verse 5 are affections that have been set on wickedness, where we have a low focus that, and a low ambition that is completely wrong and cannot be right. And so we're told to mortify them. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. As those that are risen with Christ, aim high. Don't mess with these things. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So he's tying in the death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There's so much in this passage, but the final instruction that's given in verse 13 is, don't yield, right? Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. And that's the same thing as mortify your members, right? It's that same idea. Don't give your life to these things, to these as instruments of unrighteousness. But that instruction cannot be followed without verse 6, where we started. Verse 6 has to be true in your life before you can do verse 13. Verse 6 is, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Once verse 6 is accomplished, once we're crucified with Christ, once the gospel has changed us and the Spirit of God dwells within us, once we are dead to sin and then raised to newness of life, once God has changed us, then we can get to verse 13. But if we try and jump right to verse 13, if someone tries to jump right to verse 13 without verse 6 being happened, it's not going to work. It's like you getting something from IKEA where you have to assemble it yourself and you get the instructions and you're like, forget this. Let's just go right to the end. Let's just do the last step and then it'll be built, right? If we do the last step, it is then built. So forget, 1 through 30. We're just going to do step 31. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't work that way, right? There has to be the gospel. There has to be salvation. But my point is, once we've been saved, once we've been crucified with Christ and risen with him to newness of life, then in verse 13, we can yield your members as, or neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We can have a choice to not yield to unrighteousness, and we can choose to yield unto righteousness as servants of God. But only because God now enables us. Only because God does that through us. We're no longer helpless. Before we're saved, we're completely helpless to do anything that would possibly please God. Because the Bible says that all the righteousnesses that we would do, they're just filthy rags. As hard as we would work to do things that are good, God was not pleased with those because it was completely us and our flesh trying to make ourselves look good. Once we're saved, the Spirit of Christ dwells within us and he works through us so that now we can please God. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that through the Spirit of Jesus Christ do what God says, they please God by faith. So Romans, if we look down to Romans 6 and verse 22, it puts both of these two thoughts together. Romans 6, 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end to everlasting life. We've been made free from sin. That's what the gospel does. And now we can become servants to God with the choices that we make. But our attentions cannot be directed to two different things at the same time. We cannot multitask sin and righteousness. It's not how it works. Some people, they seem like they're good at multitasking. I am not. Ask Erica. It's got to be one thing or the other. I can't do two things at once. I don't know why, but this is the way it is. We can't multitask in the Christian life. We can't try and please God, but also please ourself or other people. Just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self, if you heard that before. We're either serving our sinful flesh or we have mortified our members and are serving God. And in Colossians chapter 3, it says if you're going to aim high, you have to focus high. You can't aim low. And you have to cut off then all of those things that constantly pull our focus downward. Those desires that pull our focus from aiming high to aiming to things of this life and the wickedness that is here. So mind your focus in verse 2 and mortify your members in verse 5. We said this morning in the message that the resurrection of Jesus Christ shows us that there's more to life than just this. Everything under the sun, as Solomon put it. That the resurrection overcomes for us the problem of death, because death says that's all there is, right? You just live for this life and then you're done. But the resurrection says, no, there is more toward that. And the resurrection then, as Christians, once we trust in Christ, it really motivates us to then aim beyond this life, to aim high. As Colossians 3 says, to set our affections on things above. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Aim high. It's better to aim high and miss than aim low and hit it. And I want to turn to Luke chapter 12, one more passage. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. I want to close with this illustration that Jesus gives. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Boy, to this world, that was like he aimed high and he hit it. You know, in this world's eyes and the mind of this world, he did everything right. You know, it's like he multiplied his income to the point where he's got to pull down his storage barns and build greater ones so he can hold all of this. And even verse 19, right? Isn't this their goal? To get to the end and say, I have so much laid up for many years, right? I can just take ease and eat, drink, and be merry. I can just enjoy all that I've done. And boy, to the world, he got exactly what he wanted. He did everything right. He aimed high and he hit it. But verse 20, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And all of a sudden, the Lord puts it all into context and said, he didn't aim high. He aimed low. He aimed so low. And yeah, he got it, right? He hit what he was going for, but what did it get him? And God looks at him and says, you fool, that's what you wanted? This is all the goal you had in life was to just get a bunch of stuff and enjoy it for what you thought was many years. But the Lord says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Look down, if you will, in verse 30. And then the Lord says this to them in verse 30. For all these things, right? And he's talked about, you know, clothes and all those things, right? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Verse 30. All these things did the nations of the world seek after. All those low things. They aim low. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He'll take care of all of that. Verse 31. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said, you know what? You can aim low and get it. And what is it going to do for you? Nothing. He says, why don't you rather seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you? He says, aim high. I'll take care of all this low stuff. He says, don't worry about that. He says, you aim high. You aim for seeking the kingdom of God. There is more to life than just doing all of this. And the resurrection shows us that. It shows us that we need to mind our focus, mortify our members, and just aim high. Aim to please God in everything. Aim to lay up treasure in heaven. Let God take care of everything else. If ye then be risen with Christ, and we are, if you know Jesus Christ, you've been crucified with him and you've been risen with him. He's given you new life. He's given you eternal life. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Aim high. Aim high. Aim to please the Lord in all that you do. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for this, this challenge from the Word of God. Lord, you have done so much for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, you have saved us. You've given us eternal life. And Lord, you've given us a reason to live that is far beyond this life. All the little things that so many people focus on. Lord, help us to aim high. Help us to seek to please you in everything that we do. Help us to live not for this life, but to live for eternity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.